my notes are for my sermon. She said, a page? And I said, less. She said, half a page? Less. Quarter of a page? Less. No page? Yep. I said, you know what that means, don't you? She said, yeah, we're going to be there all day. That's what I tell people. When I don't have any notes, look out. I hope you had a big breakfast. That's all I got to say. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. And as you know, we're continuing our series on Jesus is coming. And so we're going to actually, this is a very long chapter, and we're gonna do the whole chapter today. So just preparing you right now. 60-something verses. So verse 1, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now Abraham was old and well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, and he said, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. Now, you might say, what in the world does this have to do with Jesus is coming? Well, in this first paragraph, we're introduced to Abraham, the reference to Isaac, and this unnamed servant. And so, just so you understand where we're coming from as we go through the story, Abraham represents God the Father. Isaac represents Jesus Christ. And does anybody know who the unnamed servant represents? He represents the Holy Spirit. And so here we see the Trinity in this first paragraph. And the mission of the Holy Spirit is to go get his son's bride. Sounds like the rapture to me, doesn't it to you? One day, God the Father is going to say to the Holy Spirit, it's time. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and snatch the bride of Christ, the church, up to that great wedding day in heaven as we see our Savior face to face. Praise the Lord. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, that you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. Now we notice here that the woman is given free will. We understand that every person we hand one of these cards to and say Jesus is coming, they have a free will to either accept Jesus Christ or deny Jesus Christ. They have a free will to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and bow their knee to Jesus Christ and come into the family of God and be that bride of Christ, or they can reject him. Amen? And so again, we see all of this in our text today. So, verse 9, the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. This was a practice back in the Old Testament, putting the hand under the thigh. Basically, this is a point of vulnerability, you know, and so you're trusting that person to do what you asked them to do. And so then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose And he went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when the women go out to draw water. Now here we see the prayer of this unnamed servant, who we know later to be Eliezer, by the way. And he says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Now, as we give out these Jesus is coming cards, pray over them. Amen. This is a joint effort between the Holy Spirit and you. And I can tell you, without his help, it's just a piece of paper. It's just a card. But if you will pray to God through Jesus Christ and say, as this unnamed servant said, you know, to bless and give me success in what I'm doing, he is evangelizing the bride of Christ. He is going to get his master's bride. And we are that evangelist. We are that in-between, that go-between between God and lost humanity. And as we give these cards out, we need to pray over them. And we need to say, you know, just as he did, God in heaven, give this success, that it would draw that person into the kingdom, that it would be more than just a card or more than just a statement, that John 3:16 would be more than just a verse, that it would get a hold of them by the power of the Holy Spirit and bring them in. Amen? Amen. So behold, he says, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, in verse 14, he does what we call putting out a fleece. Everybody knows what that is, right? It's from the old story of Gideon. And he says, you know, if this is really you, God, I'm going to put this fleece out. And if in the morning there's dew on the ground and there's no dew on the fleece, I'll know it's really you. And then, you know, that wasn't enough. So he said, well, let's try it again. You know, I wrung it out, and, you know, and so now I want the fleece to have the dew, and I want the ground to be dry, and so we call putting out a fleece. Now, not every time is appropriate for that. Sometimes you can take that a little overboard. But if you're desperate for direct intervention from God and you really don't know, I've done it many times. You know, when we reopened Faith Fellowship, we had closed for a while after my first wife passed away. And then we reopened, you know, we were over here in this shopping center, and right across over there years ago in that corner one, there used to be a Subway there, and then it moved down the street and it was vacant. And so when we reopened, all we could afford was this little teeny area that was a very small Subway. And we were paying about $600 a month. And then this one came up, and it was like $1,200 a month. Or what were we paying? Was that $1,200? $900, yeah. I'm making it a bigger fish than it was. Anyway, we went from 600 and it was 900. And I said, Lord, that's a big increase. I don't know if I can do this. And I don't want to do it out of order. But I said, I know what it was. Yeah, no, I was right. 1,200 is what it was. And I said, I'm going to put out a fleece. I'm going to say, I'd like it, but if you'll take 900, then I know it's going to be God's will for us to go over there. Right? 1,209. That's a pretty big cut, right? And I said it to the lady, and she said, well, let me talk to the owner. She came back, it's yours for 900. Woo! Putting out a fleece, amen? And God performed a miracle. And then last year when I said, Lord, we can't do this 900 anymore, look what the Lord did. We went from 9 to 4. So, you know, that's right. That's right. I don't think God caught it on fire, but all things work together for good, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. All right, so now let it be, putting out a fleece, that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give you your camels to drink, let her be the one. And so, you know, he's doing more than I did with the 900 to 12. He's saying, let her say this, and then let her say that. You know, not only let her do that, let her also say, you know, and also I'll give water to your camels. And he says, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Now look who's involved in all of this. God's involved in all of it. He's praying constantly through this ordeal, this mission of his. He's constantly praying. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. If you will bring God in the middle of your life, God will be in the middle of your life. If you will draw him in every decision you make, if you will make him a part of your life, he wants to be a part of your life. And here we see Eliezer, the unnamed servant at this point, and we see him constantly praying and saying, Lord, you know, this and Lord that, and God is going to do a miracle. Amen. And so it happened. Before he had finished speaking, look at that. What does the scripture say? God knows your needs before you even pray. You know, before the words are out of your mouth, before the thought is out of your heart, while you're just musing in your heart the thing you want to ask God for, the answer is already there. Amen. Remember when Daniel began his fast and he began to pray, and it was like 40 days, but the angel said, the minute you prayed, I was dispatched. It's just the prince of Persia, this demon in the heavens, withheld me. So we get so frustrated and we think God doesn't hear us. Trust me, God hears every whisper from your heart. Amen. He knows. He knows. And so it happened before he had finished speaking that behold, and actually I'm reading out of the New King James. I want to say the King James says speaking in his heart. Is that right? No? Maybe I'm thinking of another part of this story. Before he had finished speaking that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. And so she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him drink. And when she had finished drinking, when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. And at that point, he goes, that's the one, right? That's the one. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all of his camels. And the man wondered at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And so it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a gold nose ring weighing half a shekel, ladies, there's the new trend, and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold, and they said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? And so she said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, who she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. And then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. You know, when God performs a miracle in your life, do not let it pass without a good praise the Lord, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Amen. Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one of them came back to say thank you, and he said, where are the 9? And I think nowadays that's pretty common sometimes in churches that people ask God for things and they forget to say thank you. You know, they forget to thank him for what he's doing in their life. And so we see Eliezer, the unnamed servant, he bows down his head and worships the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. Now, mercy is probably one of God's greatest attributes. When we describe grace, we call it unmerited favor, which is mercy. When Habakkuk the prophet was revealed that a nation more wicked than Israel was going to come in to destroy him, he didn't really understand how God could do that. It didn't make sense to him that God would use a more wicked nation to destroy his people, but because of their idolatry, it was time. And Habakkuk says, and I love this verse, I quote it many times, especially when I'm in trouble. I say, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Because, you know, oftentimes we do deserve a whooping, but God's mercy is made new every morning. Amen. And so he thanks him for his mercy and his truth toward his master. And then he says, as for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brother. And so the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebecca, here we see her name, Rebecca, had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. And so it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelet on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebecca saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Now, one of the things I've been reading in my devotions lately was how the women in Jesus' day ministered to him. You know, Jesus was ministering to other people. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. And he could have just as easily, and he fed 5,000, he could have just as easily, and I never really thought about this until I saw it in my devotions, he could have just as easily turned a rock into a cheeseburger. But he never did that. He relied on people to feed him when he fed others. Did you ever think about that? I'd never thought about that. And it was the women, the scriptures tell us, you know, Mary, who he cast out seven demons and so on. These were providing for his physical needs. The women were. And so here we see him saying, I have prepared a house and a place for your camels. If you are doing God's will, God will provide. Amen. He will always provide. We don't worry about it. And I know there's been times, let me tell you, that I've worried about it. I remember years ago, I messed up somehow on my taxes. And I ended up owing over $1,000. And this was in days when I could barely make it from payday to payday. And I was mad. I had been tithing. And I said, Lord, I've been tithing. And I've been doing everything. And I got this thing, and then, you know, and I can't afford to pay it, and you have to write one of those Dear John letters to the IRS asking them if you can pay it out, you know. And I was just mad, and I felt like God, you know, and I was just murmuring. And then a few weeks later, I get a letter in the mail from the IRS. I get two letters in the mail. The first one, the IRS says, you know, yes, we accept your payment plan, but based on the amount you owe, you can't pay this amount. You got to pay that amount, which was about twice what I wanted to pay. And I was still murmuring. I was like, Lord, I've been tithing and everything. And I opened the other letter, and this math nerd, it said, made a mistake, and all I owed was like $50. And so I sat there, and I had a crying conniption fit, saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. I doubted you. Oh, my goodness. You know what? If we just do our part, God will supply. Amen. He will supply. And then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels, and he provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash the feet of his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And food was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And again, this just shows a type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the mission impossible man from God. He is always on a mission. His mission is, Jesus said, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He is the third person of the Godhead. He doesn't have time for games. He's on a mission. Amen. And so Eliezer says, not going to eat, not going to take it, relax. I've got a mission. And so they said, speak on. And so he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now remember, we're looking at Jesus in this passage, right? And the Bible says that God gave Jesus everything, right? He is inheriting planet Earth. It is the Father is giving the kingdom to the Son because he was the faithful one, right? And so basically the same thing. Abraham has given all that he has to his son Isaac. And now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife of my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whom the land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from the family, from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And oftentimes in the Old Testament, you'll see that God will say something, and then you'll see the person repeat it verbatim for what he said. And you'll see that sometimes, I think it's in the book of Acts as well. And you might think, well, you know, why did the Holy Spirit seem to need to repeat this? I just read it. But, you know, when God says something to you, it becomes like written in stone. You know, I joked about the fisherman story. You know, it's not often that a fisherman will, oh, it was this big, and then it was this big, and this big. And, you know, and I know you guys have heard me say it so many times, you're probably tired of hearing it. But, you know, when I talk about my calling, I say it exactly the way it happened when I was praying by that bed, and the Lord said, get out of the Air Force, go to Tahlequah, and continue your grandmother's work. Because it was the Word of God, amen? And when God says it, you don't stutter, you don't add anything to it, you don't take any away. This is what happened. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. And so he's repeating exactly as it said. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper in the way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass, when the virgins come out to draw water, and I say, please give me a little water from the pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Now let me just take a minute here to remind you that Rebecca is the bride. She is not one person. She is the body of Christ. The book of Revelation says every nation, every kindred, and every tongue. One day, you and I and multitudinous millions, and I don't know how we're all going to fit in that room. It's a big room. But we're going to sit down at what the Bible calls the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I'm going to be fighting for the chair that is farthest from Jesus, because he told me to do that, right? And if you're a man of the Word or a woman of the Word, you know that's what you want. Because, you know, if you want to get close to Jesus, he told this parable, and he said, you know, when you're bid to this banquet, don't try to sit at the front, because, you know, there may be some missionary woman there who had no legs, who ate bugs to take the gospel to some third world country, and you say, Rod, you know, she really deserves a better place. Why don't you move down about 20 rows? And then you're like, okay, Jesus, right? And so I'm going to be as far as I can, because I'd much rather him say, Raj, I know it was a small church in Tahlequah, and I know you struggle, but come on up about 3 chairs. Excuse me, gentlemen, the Lord wants me to move up 3 chairs, right? And so, you know, I'm just telling you right now, when we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, if you're looking for me, it's going to be way down the other end. So, all right. So before he had finished speaking, he said, in my heart, before I'd finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebecca coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. And so I drank, and she gave the camels a drink. And I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, which Milcah bore to him. And so I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelet on her wrist, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And you know, as we do this Jesus is coming cards, I know I've said it last week, and I probably said it the week before, you can't make anybody get saved. You can't force them. It's a free will. All you can do is give them the card and tell them Jesus is coming. And if you get a chance to talk about the Lord, that's great. But don't force it. It's either to the left or the right. It's either yes or no. And God gives them a free will. So then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either good or bad. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard the words, that he worshiped the Lord. Now here, this guy's a praiser, isn't he? He just keeps bowing down and worshiping the Lord. You know, God is good, bowing himself to the earth. And then the servant brought out jewelry of silver and jewelry of gold and clothing and gave them to Rebekah. And he also precious things to her brothers and to her mother. Now, I love this statement. It's not mine. It's one of Pastor Chuck's, who I've listened to for years. And he said, "The Lord is not buying a servant. He is wooing a bride." And so this is it. You know, he's not buying her. She's got a free will. But, you know, when we tell people about the Lord, we need to be careful that we represent him accurately. The reason Moses was not allowed to go in the Promised Land was not just because he struck the rock when he should have spoke to it. He was misrepresenting the Lord. He was making them think God was mad at him. Moses was mad at him, but God wasn't mad at him. God knew they needed water. And also, God, just let me run down my rabbit trail here. You know, Jesus was smitten once, then we just talked to him. So the first time the rock represented Christ smitten, the second time it represented prayer. And so Moses misrepresented God. And it's not hard for us as Christians sometimes to get in the flesh and misrepresent God. And so he is not buying a bride, a servant. He is wooing a bride. These jewels are not to say, you know, you're this or you're that or I'm going to buy you. It's this is the riches of the kingdom that await you if you will say yes. Amen. And we know one day, this thing called gold that man scratches and claws for, we will be walking on someday. Amen. And so this is the heritage of a child of God, the bride of Christ. And so he said to the men who were with him, who ate and drank and stayed all night, and then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brothers and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go." Now, when I read this, you know, it makes me think of those people in the Bible, in the Gospels, that came to Jesus and said, you know, my father died. I got to go bury my father. And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury dead. Follow me." And that sounds really cruel. But, you know, I have learned over the years that if the Lord tells me to do something and I don't just do it right away, that sometimes I may talk myself out of it, or I may just, other priorities may take place. And so, you know, whatever the Lord tells us to do, we need to do it right then. And so he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." And so they said, "Well, we will call the young woman and ask her personally." And then they called Rebekah, and they said to her, "Will you go with this man?" Isn't this a beautiful story? It reaches its pinnacle right here. It's the pinnacle that every one of us have been at. Maybe it was an altar call. Maybe it was in your car. It was that day when the Holy Spirit was tugging on your heart, and he was saying, "Will you follow this man, Jesus?" And he gave us a free will. Maybe you were crying. Maybe you were scared. Maybe you were unsure. Maybe you, like me, the devil was saying, you know, you aren't going to have any friends. They're going to call you a Jesus freak. And you stood there during an altar call watching others go up. But then you came to that place where you had to say, "Yes, I'm going to follow this man. I'm going to go with this man. I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they laugh at me. I don't care if I don't have any friends. I'm going to follow Jesus. And you know what? I've never regretted it. Have you? Never. And so she said those three words, "I will go." And so they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servants and his men. And they blessed Rebekah. And they said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands and of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Now, isn't this beautiful? You didn't know Bible prophecy was in this story, but here it is. Because we were grafted into the tree. We are grafted into the tree of the Jews. The promises of Abraham are ours. And truly, this prayer from their sisters has come true, because out of her came the Church of Jesus Christ. And not only that, because of who we are and who we serve, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Hallelujah. So then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels, and they followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahia, Roi. Now, I had to do a little research on this. I did not know where the well of Lahia Roi was. And apparently there's some biblical scholars that placed it one place, but then as I begin to read on, there's another one who had very good arguments that I am not even going to try to repeat or even bore you with, that basically placed it in southern Jordan, not far from Petra. And so the idea is that, you know, when you think about Abraham having property, and we know he, you know, was kind of the Ponderosa, if you will. He had a lot of land by now in this story. And so Isaac begins to stroll out to the perimeter of the Ponderosa, okay? I hope you guys get what I'm saying. And so he went from the way, meaning where he was at, out to the well at Lahia Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and there the camels were coming. I posted on Facebook this morning, "The camels are coming." People probably thought, "What in the world is he talking about?" Right? Now, it's interesting to me that Isaac walked out to the perimeter of the land, because at the rapture of the church, we're not going all the way to heaven. We're going to meet him in the air. Isaac is a type of Jesus, and he's meeting them on the perimeter of the land. Jesus, the meeting in the air. Somebody ought to write a song called that. Then Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to her servant, "Who is the man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." And so she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And then Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's, tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And so Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Isn't that a wonderful story? You know, Nola Jean and I do a song, and I regret that she's not here to make me sound better. But I'm going to sing the first verse for you. And it is the Camel Train song. "It was a day in early springtime by an ancient wayside well. Eliezer paused to rest his camel train. He had found a bride for Isaac ere the evening shadows fall. For his weary journey had not been in vain. So he took the fair Rebekah, dressed in jewels rich and rare, back to her waiting bridegroom by the way, where Rebekah loved her Isaac, and he loved Rebekah fair. Oh, it must have been a happy wedding day." And then the chorus says, "Oh, get ready, the evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding. Our joy will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. I got news for you. The camel train is coming. Amen. The camel train is coming. I said the camel train is coming. We're going to meet him in the air. What a glorious day that's going to be. Let's all stand. I want to close, and I'd like to ask any of you guys to just join me in this chorus. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Father, we thank you today for your salvation. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that your spiritual camel train is on its way. And so help us, Lord, to continue to look up, for our redemption draws nigh. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Be sure and give someone a big hug before you.